Carlos Jaramillo.
A live concert every night of the week. Radio 3, live in concert.
Wednesday night's Radio 3 Live in Concert brings you the London Philharmonic and three Prokofiev works, including a symphony which to many is his greatest, the commemorative and life-affirming Symphony No. 6. It's a chance to reappraise one of the 20th century's brightest composers. Radio 3 Live in Concert with the music of Prokofiev. Wednesday night at 7:30 on BBC Radio 3.
BBC Radio 3 is on 90 to 93 FM on digital radio, and it's also online. Just gone 1 o'clock, time for the news from Vaughan Savage.
Reports from Italy say 70 people are still unaccounted for after a cruise ship ran aground off the country's west coast. Three bodies have been found. The Costa Concordia, which was carrying more than 4,000 passengers and crew, started taking in water yesterday evening when its hull was damaged. Some survivors reached land by lifeboat, but others swam ashore. The French Prime Minister, François Fillon, has said France is a safe country, which investors can trust. He was responding to a decision by Standard & Poor's, which has stripped France of its AAA credit rating. Eight other Eurozone countries have also been downgraded. A suicide bomber has killed at least 50 people in an attack on Shia pilgrims in the southern city of Basra. Reports say the attacker was dressed as a police officer. He struck at the end of Arbain, a major Shiite religious event. The Shadow Chancellor, Ed Balls, has warned that he can't promise to reverse any government spending cuts or end the pay freeze in the public sector. He said economic mistakes made by the Chancellor, George Osborne, meant that difficult decisions had to be taken. The Conservative Party said Labour should now vote in favour of coalition policies in the House of Commons. The Emir of Qatar has said Arab troops should be sent to Syria to stop the violence which has claimed thousands of lives in the past year. It's the first time an Arab leader has called for foreign troops to be deployed inside Syria. An observer team from the Arab League is currently in the country assessing the state of the violence. The Financial Services Authority is to contact Tesco about a recent share sale made by the company's chief operating officer, Noel Robbins. He sold the Tesco shares just over a week before the company issued a profit warning. Tesco said that Mr. Robbins had not been privy to any sensitive information prior to making the sale, which had been approved in the usual way. The weather. Some fog will linger in places, but for most it will continue to be sunny. It'll be cloudier in the far northwest and on some coasts. The BBC News and Weather at 1:03.
And so now to the first of this weekend's early music shows with Lucy Skeeping.
Thank you. applause there for the vocal ensemble The Cardinal's Music, singing Mozart's glorious Ave Maria at a concert they gave at St Mary's Church, Bathwick, back in November as part of the 2011 Bath Mozart Fest. We'll be hearing highlights from the concert throughout today's early music show. Its title was Mozart's Pilgrimage, and it traced Mozart's travels around Europe in the late 18th century, some of the places he visited and some of the composers he came across or whose music influenced him. It's quite an ambitious theme, so before the concert, after the group finished rehearsal, their musical director Andrew Carwood gave us an insight into how and why he put the programme together.
I've been very interested in Mozart recently because I've recorded a disc with St Paul's Cathedral Choir, music which I've sung for a number of years as a soloist before I turned to conducting. So when Bath got in touch with us, I saw the nature of this festival, and I thought what I'd really like to do is a programme which shows some of the influences that Mozart would have come across. And unlike some people, I think his sacred music is, when it's good, every bit as good as some of his symphonic writing. So I was keen just to show the path to Mozart and how we got there. We turned to Italy, where he spent quite a considerable number of months travelling. He studied with Padre Martini, who taught him counterpoint, strict counterpoint, stile antico, the old style, which would have been transmitted from Palestrina. So that's why there's a piece of Palestrina in there, and I would think it's highly likely that he would have come across the music of Antonio Lotti, who was a very important opera composer at the time, not so well known these days, except for the remarkable Crucifixus settings. So we have the 10-part Crucifixus. And the final piece for us in our first half is the Allegri Miserere, and of course it was rather famous that Mozart went to the Sistine Chapel. He heard Allegri's Miserere, which was a closely kept secret. There were only three copies supposed to be in existence, and he wrote it down, which actually is not such a remarkable feat when you think about it, because it's the same music repeated over and over again, the same wonderful music repeated over and over again. So for someone of Mozart's brilliance, it probably didn't take him very long to write it down.
Andrew Carwood. So we're following Mozart on his travels around Europe today. And as Andrew said, we begin in Italy with Palestrina's Canite Tuba in Sion, a joyful motet for Advent, which was published in 1572. And immediately after that, a real contrast when we hear Antonio Lotti's 10-part Crucifixus, written nearly 150 years later.
Thank you.
applause there at the Church of St Mary Bathwick for the members of the Cardinals, music directed by Andrew Carwood, in that 10-part Crucifixus by Antonio Lotti. And before it, we heard Palestrina's motet Canite Tuba in Sion. Next in the programme is a work which we know for sure that Mozart heard during his travels in Italy. And it's since become one of the most popular examples of unaccompanied sacred music in the entire repertoire, the Miserere by Gregorio Allegri, composed for the choir of the Sistine Chapel around the 1630s. Allegri was himself a member of the papal choir, and his setting has traditionally been sung each year during Holy Week as part of the Tenebra service. During the music, the lights of the chapel, all flickering candles, of course, would be extinguished one by one until there was total darkness while the Pope and the cardinals knelt before the altar. It was all part of a magical, almost theatrical atmosphere. And Allegri's Miserere had such appeal that the church authorities went to great lengths to keep it a closely guarded secret. In fact, anyone else attempting to perform it was threatened with excommunication. They hadn't bargained, however, for the pirating skills of one of the world's greatest talents. As luck would have it, in April 1770, Mozart was staying in Rome, where he attended the Holy Week services at the Sistine Chapel, and he heard the Miserere performed. The story goes that he was so enchanted by it that he wrote down the entire piece from memory after just that one single hearing.
Thank you.
Gregorio Allegri's Miserere, the work heard by the 14-year-old Mozart after he heard it performed at the Sistine Chapel in Easter 1770. Andrew Carwood directed the Cardinal's music at last year's Bath Mozart Fest. So where are we going next as we trace Mozart's musical journey around Europe? Here's Andrew Carwood again.
Then we move over to England because Mozart was brought over there by his father and became a great celebrity in London, and he met J.C. Bach, and he almost certainly would have met Boyce, who was a composer large at the time. He would undoubtedly have gone to church because we know Mozart was a keen churchgoer. We don't know whether how much he believed or how religious he was, but we certainly know that he went to church a lot.
And we're going to hear one of William Boyce's religious works now. Boyce was a huge name on the London music scene in the mid-18th century. He was master of the King's music to George III. He was organist at the Royal Chapel and composer of symphonies, odes, chamber works and incidental music for several revivals of Shakespeare plays. He also produced a number of church anthems, although most of them remained unpublished during his lifetime. Here's the Cardinal's music with Boyce's 1735 setting of Psalm 54, Save Me, O God. Andrew Carwood directed the Cardinal's music in that setting of Psalm 54 by William Boyce, Save Me, O God. One of the highlights from their concert given in November as part of the Bath Mozart Fest. Mozart would have met Boyce, and indeed J.C. Bach, while he was travelling through England. But now we're going to follow him to Germany, and Bach Sr., the great J.S., here was a composer whose music, nearly 40 years after his death, was already thought of as rather out of date, as Andrew Carwood tells us.
Yes, of course, by the time Mozart was travelling around, Bach was regarded as rather old-fashioned, the popularity and the frequency with which his works were performed were starting to wane. There was a rather more sort of dilettante style of music, and Bach's seriousness was not always appreciated. I think it was really up to Mendelssohn in the early 19th century to revive that. But there were still performances going on, especially at the Thomaskirche in Leipzig, which is where Mozart heard Singet dem Herrn, one of Bach's great motets, and was captivated by it, thought the music was magnificent. For purely practical reasons, in this concert, we are singing Jesu meine Freude because we have the luxury of four sopranos, because we are singing the Allegri Miserere. So it suits our forces to do it. I can't say with my hand on my heart that Mozart heard Jesu meine Freude, but if he had have done, I'm sure he'd have been as impressed with it as he was with Singet.
Bach's Cantata No. 227, Jesu Meine Freude, performed there at the 2011 Bath Mozart Fest by the Cardinals. Music directed by Andrew Carwood. Mozart adored Bach's music. Perhaps he'd been stimulated by meeting his son Johann Christian in London a few years earlier. And yet, despite this passion, J.S. Bach's music was to remain unfashionable and out of date, if you like, for almost another half a century. That is, until Mendelssohn began to bang the drum for it in the mid-1800s. There's no doubt, though, that Mozart did learn a great deal from studying Bach's works, and indeed from all his travels around Europe. We're going to end today with another of Mozart's own choral works, written during his long Italian trip in 1770. On that expedition, he and his father visited Bologna, where the young composer spent some time with the revered scholar and teacher Padre Giovanni Martini. With his help, Mozart passed the examinations for admission to the prestigious Society of Musicians known as the Accademia Filarmonica, and it's thought that this piece may have been written as a preparation for those entry exams. Miserere mei, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Mozart's Miserere Mei, one of the highlights from the concert at the 2011 Bath Mozart Fest, and performed there by the Cardinal's Music, directed by Andrew Carwood. And that brings their Mozart's Pilgrimage to an end, and indeed today's Early Music Show. Do join me next time.
The Early Music Show was presented by Lucy Skeeping and produced in Salford by Les Pratt. And in tomorrow's programme, Lucy will be back with a programme featuring a concert from the group Fretwork and a chance to hear the winning entries from the 2011 Radio 3 National Centre for Early Music Composers Award. Tune in for that if you can, at the usual time, just after the 1 o'clock news.
On BBC Four.
They left the production without telling anybody. That's how difficult that show is.
In the 1990s, West End musicals faced some big challenges.
I have never read a review like it. It was vile.
Producers fought back by turning to celebrity.
Producers love bums on seats. The maths is very simple.
And the pop musical was born.
I gave up my job and I formed a company with Benny and Bjorn. They put in the music and the lyrics and I put in the hard work.
The Story of Musicals continues this Tuesday night at 9 on BBC Four.
Well, that's BBC Four Television, of course. This is BBC Radio 3, just gone 2 o'clock, and we now have another chance to hear last Monday's Radio 3 lunchtime concert. It was introduced from London's Wigmore Hall by Fiona Torkington.
The London Concord Ensemble gave their very first concert together here at Wigmore Hall 10 years ago this year. And ever since then, they've made a real impact on the chamber music world. They're best described as a chamber collective, I suppose, with a membership of around 12, who perform anything from chamber solos and duos upwards in varying combinations. And they're all internationally recognised young soloists, chamber musicians and principals from the BBC Symphony Orchestra, the Royal Opera House Orchestra, the Philharmonia and the Scottish Chamber Orchestra. There are 8 of them here at Wigmore Hall today to play Mozart and Beethoven and, first of all, Poulenc. Poulenc described his sextet for wind quintet and piano as a homage to the instruments which he said he'd loved from the very first day he began composing. Working on this piece, though, wasn't particularly straightforward for him. It made an appearance in the early 1930s, but it wasn't until it was first performed in December 1940 he could rest easy and say it was finished. The sextet arrives rather like a gust of wind on a blustery day, but when the scampering stops, we're into lush harmonies and beguiling colours, good humour, sentiment and wit. And applause now for the members of the London Concord Ensemble, the pianist Julian Milford, flautist Daniel Palethorpe, Emily Palethorpe is the oboist, the clarinetist Maximilian Martin, bassoonist Andrea de Flamines and the horn player Nicholas Korth, ready to begin today's concert with Poulenc's sextet.